Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good job. Just when your blood's watch it happen. Arm, and then like, I don't want to see the bike. Not a big. I might start of the next.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop this morning. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk some NFL. He's the lead columnist for the USA Today, and he now has a podcast, the Football Jones Podcast. It's our pal Mike Jones. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Mike? We just kind of went through who we think are the top five teams in the NFL. And one of those teams is the Ravens. I guess you kind of tackled that topic in your podcast, whether they should be considered an elite team or not. It's kind of funny because Valdez is a huge Ravens guy, and he said, don't let the record fool you. They're not as good as they were. What do you think?
When teams are labeled elite. It's one of his favorite things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've watched them a couple of times, covered a couple of their games this year, and one of them was the loss to the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and there's a clear difference there. You know, I know they've got a good defense. I know Lamar Jackson is electric. They're 5-1, but only one of those teams has a winning record, and that's the Browns, who, you know, even though they're 4-2, have got smacked up by another good team in the Steelers. And I just don't see that this offense has taken another step forward. The one thing about Greg Roman is his first year in San Francisco as OC with Kaepernick, they had a really good first year. Second year, everybody caught up to him. First year in Buffalo as the OC, really good first year. Second year, everybody caught up to him. Last year is his first year in Baltimore. And this year, it looks like they're doing the same stuff and haven't really continued to expand. And then you compare them to, like, Kansas City, where Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are constantly just, like, pulling out all kinds of new tricks out of their bag and making it hard for defenses to get a read on them. I just feel like this Ravens team is probably a good regular season team, not really a playoff, like, a real deep-run playoff team, just because of the fact that when they get in long yardage situations, they can't get out of it. And, you know, if Lamar's not running the ball, they don't have any explosive plays. So I feel like this next stretch here where they've got Pittsburgh twice, the Titans once, the Colts, and I think the Cowboys should probably be a real truth teller for them whether or not they're actually that good or they're just okay.
Mike, you bring up Pittsburgh, and how do they keep finding these wide receivers outside of the first round, Chase Claypool being the latest? I mean, he's had a real impact on that offense with Deontay Johnson going out with injury in the last few games. The Steelers just have a knack for being able to find these guys that aren't graded as like top, you know, first round prospects, but they always wind up contributing to the team.
Yeah. Well, I think that they have a clear vision from their coaching staff to their scouting department their front office on what attributes they look for, and they do a really great job of projecting them into their scheme, where, you know, as we've seen here in Washington, oh, look, he's big, he's fast, and he makes some acrobatic catches. Just because he's great in one system in college doesn't mean he's going to be great here. How many times have they drafted wide receivers that just, you know, never panned out? And in Pittsburgh, they do a really good job of projecting and then knowing how to use them according to their strengths. And, you know, it's pretty impressive because, yeah, you know, you have not guys that are first round, you know, highly touted, but they wind up contributing like their Pro Bowl selection wide receivers.
Yeah. A bunch of those guys are second round picks. Schuster, Claypool, Johnson. Johnson's the third round pick. Washington's the second round pick. So you're right. They don't reach in the first round. All right. So in terms of the trade deadline, which is November 3, all right, we were kind of kicking this around earlier. Do you think this is going to be your standard NFL trade deadline period where, okay, you might get a couple of bigger names go, but for the most part, you know, it's just a bunch of guys that you're not really, names you're not used to hearing, and they go for sixth or seventh round picks? Or do you think you're going to see some big names, the Julio Joneses of the world, possibly a Matt Ryan? I don't think so, but possibly, you know, maybe Kerrigan goes from Washington. Do you think it's going to be an active period or kind of just, you know, middle of the road like it usually is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it might be pretty moderate, but there probably will be a name or two here, you know, that kind of, you know, catches your eye. I don't know. I can't get a sense about Julio Jones. I know his name has bounced around there, but not sure if Atlanta is really ready to cut bait there. I would be really surprised if Matt Ryan does. But the way we're talking about the Ravens, there's two things that they really need: is a wide receiver that can win one-on-one matchups, because nobody on their wide receiver unit really scares anybody. And they also really need pass rushing help. And it would be interesting. I don't know if Snyder would pull the trigger and let Kerrigan go up the road and, you know, contend for a Super Bowl, but they're not using him. And if you have Kerrigan opposite Judon and they have Calais Campbell in the heart of that defensive front there, I think that would make a whole lot of sense. Another one is Ndakwe up in Minnesota. Okay, I know they just traded for him from Jacksonville, but they're 1-5 right now. If they lose one more, you know, 1-6, do they decide, you know what, maybe we can't re-sign this guy, we need to rebuild this whole thing? Do they trade him? Would they be interested in trading to Baltimore, who they've got a good relationship in the past dealing things? Maybe they can get some picks back. That would be interesting to see right there. Otherwise, you know, I don't know if you're going to see a whole lot of big names flying all over the place, but I think there will be some intrigue.
What'd you make of Miami announcing Tua is going to go after the bye week?
Well, I mean, I think that it makes sense for a couple reasons. He has now had, you know, 6 weeks of running through practices, watching film, really learning how defenses respond to their offense, and now they feel like he's ready. Also, Ryan Fitzpatrick always has like a good 4, 5, 6 game stretch, and then the bottom drops out. So I think they're like, okay, got us 3-3. You avoided disaster, you know, and then now let's go to the kid, and he's got a bye week, so that means 2 weeks to prepare. And also, the opponent doesn't really have anything to the Rams. I know it's going to be tough with that defense, but they don't really have anything to go off of Tua in this offense outside of the two passes that he threw the other day. So I think that it's a smart move the way they've handled it. They didn't rush him in there. They've let him have almost a full year to recover and also, you know, another 6 weeks here of studying the offense and defenses, and now they'll roll with them.
Mike, can we get the scouting breakdown from you on Kyle Allen, the Washington football team quarterback? I think, look, he's young and, you know, he can improve, obviously, but I think he's like his ceiling is career backup type of guy you go to in a pinch if you need to win some games. Clearly not the type of guy that you build your team around and that can be a playoff contender with Kyle Allen. What's your scouting report on Kyle Allen of the Washington football team?
Yeah, he's just a guy. He knows the system, but he forces a lot of stuff and he turns the ball over quite a bit. You know, if you're playing a bad team, then, you know, he'll keep you in it, but he'll also keep the other team in the game as well. If you're playing a good team, you're really going to pay for it. And I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's funny. His numbers the other day were pretty much Dwayne Haskins' numbers, and Rivera's like, yeah, he gives us a chance to win. Well, I mean, you know, how? I don't see this guy being an answer. If they really want to make a run at this division, why not just roll with Alex Smith? Because at least he takes care of the football. He's knowledgeable of defenses, and, you know, you're not just holding your breath wondering which team this guy is going to throw it to, which is the case with Kyle Allen.
We've never seen a division as bad as the NFC East. All right? We've never seen it. Not that I can remember, anyway. And I think we were talking about it yesterday. Do you think that the winner of the NFC East will get to 7 wins? If you set it at 6.5, I think a lot depends on this weekend. If Dallas wins this weekend, I'd say, okay, they could probably get to 7. Because I think Dalton and those weapons, I think they'll get better. And, of course, they're going to beat up on some of those other teams in the division. But if they lose and you've got, three teams with 2 wins through 7 games, I'm not so sure you get to 7. You might get a 6-10 winner.
Yeah, you very well could. Dallas's defense is so bad that I just don't know that Andy Dalton and that offense can do enough to score enough points to offset what they give up. If anybody's going to win this division, I think it's going to be Philly. They're really banged up, but they've got a lot of fight in them. And so I think that if anybody's able to scratch out 6-7 wins, it's probably the Eagles in the second half of the season here. I mean, they went against a defense that holds teams to 15 points a game in Baltimore, and, you know, they came within a 2-point conversion of forcing overtime there, even though they're down to their 6th right tackle and their 5th right guard, and they've got a bunch of no-names at wide receiver. If they can eventually get healthy, I think that they can maybe go on a run here. But otherwise, I mean, it's going to be ugly. That it probably will be a losing record winning in division and hosting a playoff game.
Talking to Mike Jones from USA Today, you say when they get healthy, but it just seems like their injuries continue to mount.
Right.
No Ertz here for a month, no Miles Sanders for a couple of weeks. I mean, the hits keep on coming for the Eagles.
They do, but, you know, when you look at this team, that's something over the years that they've been able to absorb injury and everybody finds a way to raise their level of play. I just think when you compare them to the rest of the division, obviously it's not going to be the Giants. Obviously it's not going to be Washington. And Mike McCarthy already sounds like he's starting to lose that locker room there. I don't know how that they, you know, turn this thing around there either. So that's why I just say, okay, for continuity's sake, and you know, Wentz, you know, familiarity with the system, if they can, you know, get Dallas Goedert back, if they can get, I mean, I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson really have anything left, but that would help them a little bit. And again, it's not going to take a whole lot of wins to win this division, so that's why I'll roll with Philly.
The 49er-Patriot game is very interesting. It's very big, mm-hmm. right, even though we're only in week 7. But 49ers look like they're starting to get healthier. Now, Mostert's going to be out. That's going to kill them. But Garoppolo looks like, and he was really good last week. If he's healthy, he can make plays. The Patriots were bad, really bad. Now, Cam Newton hadn't played since late September, so maybe he was a little rust there. But, you know, they've never been 2-3 at this point. And the 49ers have to keep pace with the rest of the division, right? So they're 3-3.
Right.
They got to keep winning because of those three teams ahead of them in the division. So what's your thought on that matchup?
Well, I think that the Patriots are going to bounce back and play better than what they did. Look, they'd only practiced twice, I think, in the 2-week-and-a-half span or something like that. You know, and Cam hadn't had a lot of practice. And so I think they'll play better, but you're exactly right that the sense of urgency there for the 49ers is very strong because that's probably the best division in football. You've got the unbeaten Seahawks going to go play the Cardinals. And then, you know, that was a big win for them beating the Rams for the 49ers. So they want to gain some momentum here because if they can get healthy, obviously there's some guys they lost for the season, but they really have a chance because, you know, Kyle's got Sean McVay's number. And so when they rematch them, you know, you think that they have a good shot there. And so, obviously Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be highly motivated going back to New England. I feel like this is going to be a really, really hotly contested game. I know that nothing's perfect on either side, but I kind of feel like the 49ers are going to wind up squeaking this one out.
Mike, appreciate the time as always. People can check out the podcast, Football Jones. It's available on iTunes. It's Mike Jones from USA Today. Thanks, pal.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, man. Good talking to you, man.
All right, coming up next, we're going to open up the entertainment page with Johnny Cakes Auville leading the show. And then at 8:45, we're going to give you a chance to win a $25 gift card to Rody. We're going to play a little Junkies like Password. That's at 8:45. But next, it's the EP here on the Junkies.
Game. But I feel like.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Give you a chance to win a great prize coming up at 8:45 with Junkies Password. But right now, we open up the entertainment page. Brought to you by our friends at Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome. Super simple, just bubbly water. Splash of real juice, a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia, artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish. That means only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES. You get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
All right, your lead story. This will be a very music-heavy entertainment page. Just to let everybody know.
All right.
The lead story, and it's not even close, this is by far the lead story, and it's sad, is that Tony Lewis, now that name may not ring a bell, he passed away at the age of 62, I believe.
Wow.
But you do know the song. It will be instantly recognizable when Valdez plays it.
Oh, yeah.
Spin it, DJ Valdez.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
I used to love the outfield. It's the outfield, right?
Definitely
it is the outfield. Singer Tony Lewis dead at the age of 62.
Wow, such a good song.
The song is a smash. I mean, just a huge, huge hit for the band. And this is where it gets really good.
Yeah, turn that up, Valdez.
Passed yesterday at his home near London, 62 years old.
Man, what happened?
He was the lead singer. Don't know yet. Not revealed. Cause of death not revealed at this point. This is off their debut album. So they just came out with the hits right out of the gate in 1985. Went triple platinum. Went top 10 in the album charts in the U.S. Your Love got to number 6
Your
on
Love,
the Billboard Hot 100.
Too. Yep. It,
I mean, to me, that's one of the top like 20 or 25 songs of the 80s. It has to make your list.
I
haven't cobbled together a list, but if I were to do it, that song would be on it.
Every time you hear it, you kind of like you bob your head a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those tunes. Great driving song, too.
Absolutely. So sad news to kick off the EP. Tony Lewis no longer with us. Gone at the age of 62. But. As you mentioned, that song is a head bopper, and in the year, 2400, when all of us are dust for hundreds of years, they're going to hear that song and say, well, that song is a smashola
by the way,
1980s.
I was driving yesterday, and I pull up to a light, and there's a Cadillac that was right next to me, and it was a brother, older brother.
Okay.
He was probably in his 50s.
Right.
He looked like he could have been a former skin, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Just a big dude, and he was cranking, like, really loud. His windows were down. He was cranking the Cars, Dangerous Type.
Oh, now you're hitting Valdez right in the feels. Valdez will play the Cars the rest of the show today.
Well, Dangerous Type is my favorite song by them. And I just looked over, and I gave him a little nod. And he looked over me, he nodded back, and I just started bobbing my head because I was just approved of the song, and I didn't mind that it was loud. A lot of people will roll their windows down, they're playing awful music, but
yeah. Most of the time it's awful music.
But he was cranking out Dangerous Type by the Cars, and I was just like, I'm all in with you, bro.
I wish you had told me that
when he was cranking the tunes,
yep,
that it was Judas Priest breaking the law. I was hoping that that was going to be the payoff.
No, I would have pulled off. I would have ran the red light to get away from him so fast if he was doing that.
How ironic, because that's breaking the law.
Right, exactly.
It would be you breaking the law. Very nice.
Yeah, crank this up a little bit.
I told you it'd be a music-heavy EP. Very music-heavy. I didn't even know the Cars were going to be part of the mix.
That was a tangent.
But they were.
So, R.I.P. Tony Lewis.
R.I.P. Tony Lewis. That song and a few others. Some hits off of that album from 1980.
Well, Your Love. Is Your Love off that album, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
That album included, hold on, let me check. It included Your Love, All the Love, and Say It Isn't So, which is a little bit slept on. Not by you, but by most of the masses. So Tony Lewis gone at 62. Somebody who's still with us is Gwen Stefani, and apparently she was triggered by just a 90s smash that was sung by Aaron Scott on The Voice, season 19 of The Voice, by the way. During
19
the blind
seasons?
19 seasons during the blind auditions, Aaron Scott went up and belted out a 90s silly that I know Jason likes. Uh-huh. And if you're into music and if you like good music, you like this song. We go from 80s sillies to 90s.
Hold on. I'm pulling the Voice version.
Okay.
You're Cakes, the Voice yeah, version. I just saw Cakes' note. Sorry.
Okay. So I guess when this song was belted out, it brought back a lot of the feels for Gwen Stefani, who, of course, was married to Gavin Rossdale from 2002 to 2016.
Memories are just where you laid them.
Oh, this is fuel.
Drag the waters to the tips,
this guy's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great
band. Did we see Fuel at
Brett
that
Scallions.
HF Festival, one of the last HF Festivals that we did?
Yes.
Yep.
I like Fuel.
I met Brett Scallions. I had my picture taken with him.
Here's what I remember about Fuel. This is a weird, like, just a little throwaway bit from the HF Festival that, you know, all
keep talking over the best part.
All right, I'll let it play.
Play it. It's a music EP. Now, clearly, Brett Scallion's better than Aaron Scott.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani's crying, too.
She is crying. She's definitely crying. Her quote was, "I got to be honest, some of those 90s songs are like a trigger for me," she admitted. "I probably have to go see my therapist after that. Thank you." But getting back to Fuel, we were side stage with them at the HF Festival. I believe that was at Merriweather Post.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
the same one where we saw Naughty by Nature do OPP like four times.
You got to play the hits, JP. If you only have one or two hits, you play the hits multiple times.
Right.
You play it to open and to close your set. But what I remember about Fuel was side stage, as soon as they were done, they had just a nubbins little like igloo cooler,
uh-huh,
just stocked with like five or six Yingling cans like that they couldn't wait to crack into as soon as they were done. I mean, it was something like Valdez would be ashamed to bring it to his tailgate because the cooler was so small, like the type that you press the button and the top comes down and you can maybe fit like four beers in it. You know what I'm talking about, yeah. Valdez. But they were ready. They wanted those Yinglings as soon as they belted out Hemorrhage in My Hands.
You know why
Is that
they
the
like
the same HF Festival with Billy Idol?
I think it was.
I think it
yes.
was. It was.
And I'll never forget. Now we're going down the road.
Former Rick Valdez show guest, Billy Idol.
Right. The best part about that HF Festival was that Chris Lingbach, the artist formerly known as Blue Shorts,
yeah,
his task was to go get food for Billy Idol and I guess some of his bandmates.
By the way, this story always comes up every time we talk about this HF Festival.
I can't help it. I have to always tell it.
The Pavlov's dog.
In case somebody hasn't heard it. So he goes and gets, you know, like a bunch of styrofoam containers filled with, you know, mediocre food from the food tent or the food area, and is walking them back to Billy Idol's tour bus, and then he trips and the food spills out onto the ground.
What a donkey
And he
Kong.
Has to shovel it back in without, right, hopefully the band noticing that Blue Shorts has ruined their food experience for the night at the HF Festival. Sorry, Shorts.
By the way,
to be done.
Cakes, you know why Fuel liked Yingling?
I'm guessing it's because they're from, they're Yinzers from Pennsylvania.
There you go. I think their origin is Pennsylvania. I'm not sure. I don't think Scallions is. I thought Scallions was from like Nashville or Memphis or something. But I think the guys who actually formed the band are from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So they are big Yingling fans.
Yes, they are. They're Yinzers and they love the Yingling.
I'm going to ask you this. Again, I ask this all the time about songs I really like.
Yes.
Do the brothers like Hemorrhage?
No.
Ooh, that's a good question.
No.
Everybody
there are a few.
Should love it.
There are a few, but by and large, no.
They should like Shimmer, too.
They should like Shimmer, yes.
Shimmer greater than sign Hemorrhage.
That's very good, too. We're going to glance over quickly the Nick Cage story, but I'm bringing it up because Rom, this would never happen with Rom or with Jason. This is from Barstool. Nick Cage tells Marilyn Manson the story of the last time he gambled. 30 years ago, apparently, he turned $200 into $20,000 playing roulette in the Bahamas, which sounds terrible. Roulette's a terrible game. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Drab will tell you
probably
it's great, it's awful. Then he took the $20K that he won, and he walked to the closest orphanage. I can't believe there's a bunch of orphanages there, but I guess there is one.
You imagine an orphanage in the Bahamas?
Just gave it to the kids. He just made it rain with the $20K. So here you go. Add a new wind to your orphanage himself.
What happened to his career? He was one of the most respected actors for a while. I believe he won an Academy Award for Leaving Las Vegas.
He did, yes.
And I would say over the last 5 to 10 years, he's done nothing but put out like straight-to-DVD movies.
Poopy.
Plus, he's not very good with his cash either. I think he's lost a bunch of his money. It's all gone down the drain. Valdez, do you have the song queued up? Mark Hoppus of Blink 182, he's giving the origin stories of the opening of What's My Age Again. Apparently, he came up with it by trying to learn Green Day's song Jar, which is off, I think, the Angus soundtrack from back in the day. Can you play that for me?
Sure. Do you want to hear the Blink one first? So we all know the Blink intro.
Yeah.
So What's My Age Again?
Brother's got to like this song, too.
Darius shaking his head yes, by the way.
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, he's basically white.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just messing with him. Come on, keep playing it.
That was Blink.
Well, that's the intro, and then here's Jar.
Oh.
Very similar.
Oh yeah.
Play Blink now. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Very similar.
Some would say identical. I mean, it might be like one note off.
By the way,
it doesn't
Jason,
matter. It's a smash hit.
Our guy Kareem, who used to be over at Hollywood Casino.
Yeah.
He was the entertainment director there.
Yep.
He sent me a text. He said, the brothers love Fuel. Just
they
one
do.
Guy.
Really? Okay.
It's one guy.
Just one guy.
I'm telling you, if you're a brother in PG County or D.C. or Montgomery, wherever you are.
He's in West Virginia.
All right. Go listen to Shimmer and go listen to Hemorrhage and then go listen to Falls on Me. I guarantee you'll become a Fuel fan.
Falls on Me is kind of slept on. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Final story in the EP. This will excite Valdez. We heard her do a cover of Zombie. I think it was on yesterday's EP.
Yeah, yesterday.
Here's the headline. Miley Cyrus is making a Metallica covers album.
And really?
That might be kind of silly.
And I am fully there for that. I would...
We might be changing the intro of the show.
Right.
It might
the
be.
Miley.
She covers Enter Sandman. It might be the Miley version at some point. So
Valdez, can you do
me
a favor?
She's going down the Metallica wormhole.
Just you can
What's
YouTube
that?
It. You can YouTube it. Can you punch up Miley Cyrus, Heart of Glass? And listen to the cover of Heart of Glass. I want to get Cakes' vibe on this. I think she kind of nailed it in her own way. Because of her voice, it's deeper, obviously, than Deborah Harry. But I think the band is good. Whoever her band is, I mean, they nailed the Heart of Glass.
All right, well, give me 1 second here.
All right.
I mean, do you know how good it's going to be when Miley Cyrus is singing Creeping Death by Metallica?
Or wouldn't you rather hear the original?
The original's great.
The originals are always better.
I don't mind somebody doing covers of a great band's tune.
All right. Cakes, tell me what you think.
All right.
All right. And by the way, if you see the video, she's basically wearing nothing. She looks so hot.
This is my first listen.
Yeah.
World premiere. Great 80s tune.
Dude, her outfit is see-through. It's a show.
She's not wearing anything.
It actually sounds similar.
She's crushing it.
She killed crushing. It.
She's a talented moment. Talent.
She is. It's very talented. Talent. Multi-talented talent. Such a good inside joke.
All right, coming up next, we're going to give you a chance in a game show Wednesday to win a $25 gift card to Rhody. We're going to play Junkie's Password, so we need some contestants. Give us a call now at 800-636-1067 on the AAA Always On Call listener line. We're the Junkies. It's the Fan. Three. I'm Mike Jones.
Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a game show Wednesday brought to you by our friends at MGM National Harbor. The poker room is open. Duh. Get out there and see some flops. The poker ambassador implores you to do so. They're taking all the safety protocols into place. Playing seven-handed plexiglass between every player. You must wear a mask the entire time. MGM National Harbor. I will be there soon. You should be too.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. Do we have contestants on the line, Darius? There you go. As we play Junkie's Password. Let's go to Alan in Fairfax on line one. Cakes, I'm going to put you on the spot. Come up with a password real quick.
I got one.
Okay, type it up in the Hangout.
All right.
Alan, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Who would you like to partner with in Junkie's Password?
Let's go with Cakes.
All right. Alan, I hope I get you that prize, my friend.
Let's go to Todd in Virginia.
Todd, this is
good morning, fellas.
Hello, Todd.
Hey, Todd. Who would you like to partner up with for Junkie's Password? You can choose Bishbucks or JP. There you go.
Cowboy Todd?
This is Cowboy, yeah. Oh.
Hey, it's the Cowboy.
Did you try to sneak in? It's just Todd. You can't just call in and say you're Todd.
He couldn't hear me. I had to take him off my Bluetooth. So I guess he missed that part.
Yeah, you tried to sneak brand. One by Darius, didn't you?
Ooh, I think this password's going to be a little tough for some reason.
Oh, you think?
All right, who goes first?
Cakes, why don't you lead off? You give the first clue to Alan in Fairfax.
All right. Alan, your first clue is tradition. I'm playing the long game here.
I think it's going to take a while. Got a maximum of three clues. Do you want to take a guess, Alan?
Holiday.
Right, to go back okay. to Jason. Clue number one for Cowboy Todd.
I can if it's a proper noun, I can use more than one word, correct?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
All right, see if Todd can get this. Commander-in-Chief's trophy.
Impossible.
The Heisman?
All right, so the clues... So far, tradition and Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Back to Cakes, trying to get Alan to figure out the password. Alan in Fairfax.
All right, Alan, you still there?
Yep.
All right. So far, we have tradition.
Right.
We have Commander-in-Chief trophy, 100 words. Okay? Your next clue is military.
Army.
All right, so Todd, you're going to get it here.
By the way, the tradition, yeah. if just going back to the first clue.
Yes.
Tradition, his answer would be Army.
Right. Here you
like
go.
That's
ready?
A tradition.
Todd, you're going to get this. Tradition, Commander-in-Chief's, Army. All right.
No, rivalry. Military. Military
and military, I'm sorry. Rivalry.
Navy.
All right. Here we go. Alan, you're going to get the dub here.
Final clue.
Tradition, Commander-in-Chief Trophy, military, rivalry. Your clue is Philadelphia.
That's just going to throw them off.
Yeah, it did. I don't have it.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
All right, Todd.
All right, back to Todd.
All right.
Trying to figure out the junkie's password.
Here's the only one I can give you, football.
I can't believe it's gotten this far.
All right, Todd, your clue is football. Do you have a guess? There have been six clues given. Military, rivalry, Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, tradition,
Philly.
Football, Philly. Can you piece it together?
Benjamin Franklin?
John Feinstein wants to blow his brains out right now.
Cakes, what is it?
It's the Army-Navy game.
Army-Navy game. We don't have a winner. Why don't we do this?
I thought it was going to be easier than that.
We'll play the caller 10 game. Clear out the phone lines,
Darius.
That's
embarrassing.
10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with that $25 gift card to Rhodey. It's just sad. But, you know, I called it. Didn't I call it?
Yeah, you said it'd be difficult.
Yeah, but I didn't believe you. I didn't think it would get past four clues. They got the six, still couldn't get it. That's an embarrassment.
My bad.
Oh, I'm not blaming us. That's not on us. We gave ample clues. We gave good clues.
I thought your guys were going to get it. I mean, I knew Todd would struggle with it, but I thought your guys were going to get it.
Apparently, no, Alan doesn't know what the Army-Navy game is either.
He got half of it. They both got half of it.
A donk. By the way, did you follow the Mookie Betts Taco Bell connection? Do you guys ever go to Taco Bell?
It's been a while.
A couple times. I mean, like, my kid likes it more. You know, like, I'm not in a rush to go out and get like nachos all the time. You know, but my kid wants it sometimes.
Yeah,
I give a big Baja Blast.
I go on occasion because it's on my path. Like, I have this path where I'm on Darnestown Road all the time, back and forth with my kids, and there's a KFC/Taco Bell. I lean more often than not, personally, to the KFC side if I stop, but occasionally I'll get Taco Bell. Well, Mookie Betts, apparently for the second time in his career, earned America a free taco from Taco Bell. They had their Steal a Base, Steal a Taco promotion. First player to steal a base in the World Series earned America a free taco at Taco Bell. Right. So you can go and get a free taco.
So is it the first guy who steals a base?
Apparently fans can redeem their free Doritos Locos Tacos.
Those are
October 28th, 2 to 6 p.m.
You think they're not a taco with a Dorito shell bulletin tastes really good.
Have you had? I've never actually had that.
I've had one before. They're good.
I think my go-to when I go to Taco Bell is the chalupa. I don't know why.
It's an old school item.
By the way, it's a brilliant promotion because a taco probably costs Taco Bell about 32 cents to make.
Right.
If that. And you know people are going to go up, they're going to get their free taco, but they're going to order probably four or five, or they're going to order something else.
I mean, well, the other thing is they're getting all of the mentions, and then they're making it somewhat limited in that it's 2 to 6 p.m. So those are kind of off hours, really. It's post-lunch, kind of pre-dinner. Or for Cakes, it's dinner time.
Yeah, dinner.
For me, it's dinner.
Beautiful. Before 6. Yeah. You guys have dinner before 6?
Oh, 4 out of 5 days. I was going to say 5 out of 7, but it's 4 out of 5 during the week we have dinner before 6.
So do you need to bring them any sort of, like do you have to print out a coupon, or you just roll up to the window and say, I want my free taco because Mookie Betts stole a base? how does it work?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I think they have to know.
They just hook you?
I think so.
So can you go back, like, a couple times a day and just get a free taco?
That is a good question.
If you're really nubs, yes, you can. You can pull off that move.
Cakes, why don't you try it today? Tell me how that works out.
After I give blood, I'm going to be butt hungry. So maybe
maybe
I will drive to Aspen Hill and get a free taco.
And a job application.
Do you still get the job app?
Do you still get nervous when your blood's taken? Cakes was always kind of squeamish.
Here's the thing. I can give blood. I can even donate like a pint of blood. But here's the key. This is the key component. I can't watch it happen. Like, I give him my arm, and then my head goes this way. Like, I don't want to see the needle go in my arm. I don't want to see the blood. I don't want to see my life force flowing out of my body. I don't like it. Not a big fan. So as long as I don't watch it, I'm good. Now, I might start sweating a little bit right before it happens. But I'm generally good with giving blood at the tender age of 50. I've gotten better at it, yes, over the years.
Got you.
Yeah.
All right, in case you're tuning in just now, I wonder where EB is. EB's actually having his colonoscopy right now. So we're talking about medical procedures.
He's getting the probe.
From giving blood to colonoscopy.
He's probably arriving at the hospital or whatever building he's doing it at right now. You're supposed to be there about an hour before.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get into Jason Wright's comments. Jason Wright is the new team president of the Washington football team. And we'll talk about what he said about the team name moving forward. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
Generally good. But at the 50. Better at it, yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.